Our first reading's from Paul. It's in Mark's Gospel. I read something this week that John Newton wrote about how, as Christians, when we read the Bible, we need to really use our imaginations. We need to try and see and really think through, what are we reading? What are we hearing? What's it saying? So let's all try and do that tonight. I'll leave some pauses after we've heard the Bible read, just for us to dwell on what's been said, what we've read, what we've heard. So this is Mark's Gospel, chapter 14.
Starting at verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will."
And Stephen, I think, will read our next reading. It's Isaiah chapter 53. Stephen, you can read it from there. I think your voice is strong enough. Isaiah 53, verses 4-6.
"Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all."
We're going to spend some time really thinking about this portion of scripture together, so do keep it open in front of you if you've got a Bible there. Or do find it, open it up, page 741 in the church Bibles. We began looking at this part of scripture on Sunday morning, just gone. The servant of the Lord is in view. And God's witnesses are speaking. This section begins back in chapter 52. God is speaking at that point. But then just look at verse 1 of chapter 53. "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" These witnesses of God are now speaking within this prophecy. People who understand what God is doing. People who understand who this servant is and what he's going to do. And they're describing that to us in poetic language, but helping us to understand exactly what this servant was to do. This is written some 700 years before the Lord Jesus came, but it's written about him. And as we reach our verses, we see that more and more clearly. This speaks of Jesus. Have a look at verse 3. This is what we were thinking of on Sunday. "He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain." And then those two words, pain and suffering, are picked up at the beginning of verse 4. "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering." They understand what's taking place. Initially, I think it seems as they looked, They didn't understand, yet we considered him punished by God. We saw what was happening and we thought God was striking him. Maybe because he deserved it. But no. God was striking him, God was punishing him, but not because he deserved it. No, what he faced, the pain and the suffering, should have come our way. But he bore it. What I want us to do as we dwell on these verses is to really try and take in what happened to Christ should have happened to us. This passage, these verses are very clear. This should have happened to us. We were guilty. Verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. And that sounds quite lame, doesn't it? I don't know if you look at that and think, well, what's the problem in that? Sheep probably quite often are wandering off, aren't they? That's what sheep do. But look how it puts it in verse 6. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. It's deliberate. A turning from God to our own way. You fill in the gaps for yourself. Not trusting God, but trusting. Not listening to God, but listening to. Not pleasing God, but pleasing. Not loving God, but loving. Not giving glory to God, but giving glory to. Each of us has turned to our own way. Verse 5 describes that as transgressing. God has told us how to live, but we've transgressed, we've broken his law. Verse 5 describes it as iniquities. Something deeply wrong, morally wrong. And most of us don't realize how serious this is. Most of us think we're not that bad. Considering all things, we're not that bad. But this is where Isaiah 53 helps. Imagine I told you that my brother had just been given a life sentence. He's gone to prison. What would you start to think? What would you want to ask? Slightly awkward conversation. I tell you this. Probably very politely you'd say, well, I'm really sorry to hear that. Would you ask what he'd done? If you didn't ask what he'd done and you just went away and you started to think, what could he have done to get a life sentence? What did he do? Or imagine I told you, I've served 15 years in prison. We just got to know each other and telling you a bit about my history. I've just, in the last couple of years, been released. 15 years. A bit awkward in the conversation. Would you ask what I'd done? 15 years, what kinds of things might that encompass to have had to have gone to prison for that length of time? Australian cricketers, you've seen them in the news this year. The captain of the Australian cricket team was weeping on television today. He's been banned for a year for playing for Australia. He's been banned for life from ever being their captain again. Now, a lot of you won't understand cricket. What had he done? To be banned for a year. Well, he must have done something quite serious, mustn't he? Do you see how the punishment, when we hear about the punishment and how serious the punishment is, it gives us an idea on what the crime might be and how bad that crime might be. What was the punishment in Isaiah 53? Well, there was pain. Think of the Lord Jesus and the pain he was about to feel this weekend. Physical pain. This night as he was arrested and taken away, as he was beaten. Tomorrow morning as the nails were driven through his hands, through his feet. The crown of thorns rammed into his head. There was pain. There was suffering. Physical suffering. Nailed to that cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. Still there at noon. Still there at 3 in the afternoon. 6 hours struggling to breathe. He was pierced. Literally through his skin, breaking his bones in his wrists or hands. He was crushed. Physically beaten, so much so that he couldn't carry his own cross. Someone else had to carry it for him. And that's just the physical side. Jesus in Gethsemane, the reading that we heard before, talks about his soul. Not physically, but his soul. Being overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. In his inner being, emotionally, spiritually, to face the wrath of God. Not simply the physical pain, but to know that wrath coming his way. To know that he was going to be abandoned, forsaken, separated from his Father, whom he'd been with for eternity. This was the punishment. Not a year banned from cricket, not 15 years in prison, not a life sentence. This is beyond all of those. And if God is just, and the Bible says he is, then our crime must be awful, mustn't it? If it took this to pay for it. The depth of our sin is shown by the depth of his suffering. And he suffered. And what he suffered, we should have faced. We deserved. But we often don't dwell here. It was striking in growth groups just recently as we thought of confession in our prayers. How often in our prayers are we confessing? Corporately when we're together, but on our own individually. How often do our prayers rush to asking? How many days in a row do we daily bring our confessions to God for the ways we've failed him, let him down, transgressed? the evil in our hearts that's still there, the things we've thought or looked at or done, the ways that we've just not carried out our relationships with others around us in the ways that we should have done. The ways we've not treated our church family as we should have done. The ways we've been selfish, self-interested, self-absorbed. The times we've forgotten God, gone through a day, not thanked him for the food we've eaten, for the warmth of the sunshine, for the singing of the birds, for the job he's given us, for the money we have, for the water out of our taps. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Which means instead of facing this suffering that Jesus suffered, instead we gain peace and healing. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. Peace. Peace with God. God is not against you, he is for you. That's the truth for the Christian today. God is not against you. He is for you. He is at peace with you. God is not holding up a list of things to hold against you. He is at peace with you. We can enjoy peace with God now and a peace-filled future. And by his wounds we are healed, not beaten or inflicted with pain, but healed. Healed spiritually now, working on our hearts, changing our hearts, that we don't always go our own way, that with his help we do turn his way, we do thank him, we do praise him, we do listen to him, we do become more like him. Our hearts healed. And the promise of future healing too. Healing in our bodies. Healing from all the pain that we do endure today. That line in Revelation, he will wipe every tear from your eye. That's healing language. What grace. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.